All right, y'all. How we doing? We're still alive. We're good. Awesome. Well, get your Bibles, get your journals out. We are jumping in, finishing out our series, as you saw in that bumper, Translate. And so the past few weeks, I've been really excited about this series because I think it has really helped define and bring to life some terms that we have used a lot, but simply just really don't know the meaning behind them. So we used terms like a few weeks ago, the phrase, nobody's perfect. And we talked about how grace isn't an excuse to sin, but it is a reason to obey and to serve God more fully. Then last week, we talked about the verse, I can do all things through Christ, and how that verse isn't just about, you know, success on the athletic field or personal achievement, but it's about finding full contentment in Christ no matter the circumstance. And so this morning I'm excited to finish out this series. And as we set up our time, I want to share with you guys my favorite TV show growing up. Okay? I don't even know if this airs anymore, but it was one of my favorite TV shows. I'd watch it every Saturday morning. It's a show called Mythbusters. Has anyone heard of this show? Wow, we got some Mythbusters fans. I love it. Okay, so if you've never heard of this show, the premise of this show is basically what they do is they will evaluate different like legends and myths and common things that people believe, and they'll hire these bunch of scientists and special effects stars and engineers to come onto the show and determine if this thing that people believe is actually true or if it's false. And so they'll do the craziest stunts and craziest things. They'll blow up things, and they'll investigate things, and they'll look and determine if something is truly real. And so here are a few of them that they've investigated in the past that I wanted to talk about. They investigated, can a person actually dodge a bullet? Okay, so they literally had somebody on the show figure out, I know if you've ever seen The Matrix or some movies where they will show like, hey, a person dodging a bullet, they found that actually it's not possible. You cannot dodge a bullet. It's not real. A few other ones that they did is, can a person actually sink in quicksand? And they investigated, because you've probably seen that in movies where somebody sinks in quicksand and dies, and they realized that you cannot actually die in quicksand. It's actually not real. They realized that that was fake. And so they kept going. They've done a ton of these. They actually investigated, can a person walk blindfolded across a minefield? And I don't know why they did that one, but they realized you can't. Like, that's dangerous and you shouldn't. They investigated, can a person find a needle in a haystack? And it's not true. You really can't. It'll just disappear. It's really hard. They investigated that is a dog's mouth cleaner than a human's mouth? And they found out that a dog's mouth is, in fact, cleaner than a human's mouth. That's disturbing. I don't know why, because my dog eats his own poop. So who knows why? They investigated the five-second rule. Everyone know what the five-second rule is? Where everyone throws that, you know, Pop-Tart on the ground or piece of candy on the ground, and they're like convinced if it stays in the ground for less than 5 seconds, no germs will get on that food item. And they realized it is not true, guys. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. It doesn't matter how long that piece of food is on the ground, the germs will still get on that food. So eat it at your own risk. They investigated, can a person slip on a banana peel? I mean, you watch Mario Kart, you watch a movie, people always slipping on banana peels. I don't know why. They found out that you can actually slip. You can't do it. Like, you might trip, but you're not going to slip and flip over and break your neck. Like, it's just not going to happen. A banana peel is not that dangerous. And so there is so many of these. They did thousands of them. And the whole premise is really what I said, is they take common things and they examine them to see if they're actually real. And so this morning, I want to examine a phrase that we tend to use, and I want to see and examine it and see if it's actually something we should utilize. It's a phrase that we should say. It's a phrase that is ultimately true. Is it true or is it false? And so the phrase we're going to be talking about this morning, if you're taking notes, is the phrase, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And I'm sure we've probably heard this phrase before, if not used this phrase. I think the reason we use this phrase is amidst probably a tragedy or disappointment in our life. What we typically do is we typically just say, hey, everything happens for a reason. And we kind of write it off. Maybe it's something that's really hard in your life. And you just tell yourself, I mean, everything happens for a reason. And we just try to ignore it. And I think we say that phrase with the best of intentions, but ultimately it can almost empty the weight and severity of that moment of its meaning. It's hard to find a meaning and some tragedy in your life at times. And we'd like to say that phrase just to write it off, but in reality, it can be easily misinterpreted. So I want to examine that phrase, and I believe the way that I'm going to define it this morning is talking about the question, what do we do when something hard happens in our life? What do we do when something bad happens? We're going to answer that question. What do we focus on when something bad happens? Because I think we can tend to just not know what to do. And then we immediately say cliche phrases like everything happens for a reason and move on. In reality, we miss what God is teaching us. So I want to tell you guys how to respond when something bad happens. Because you might say, hey, I've never been through something bad. In reality, like God's word tells us in John chapter 16, verses 33, like in this world, you will have trouble. It's promised. And so we have to know how to respond. And so I want to teach you guys how to respond in moments of trial. And so the first point, if you're taking notes, how to respond, what to focus on when something bad happens is this: to focus on promises and not explanations. To focus on promises and not explanations. And so we're going to be in John chapter 9. We're going to be going around in a different few verses. But in John chapter 9, there's this story where Jesus and the disciples come up to this blind man. This man was born blind, and literally he'd never seen a sunset, a sunrise, and never seen the face of his mom. Literally, he was amidst suffering. And so what these disciples do, they immediately go up to this man, and they immediately try to explain why he's suffering. They immediately slap a label on it, like we do with everything happens for a reason. And they miss trying to pastor him and care for this individual who is obviously suffering. And so here's what they say. They go up to him in verses 1 and 2. They say, and he went along, and he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who has sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? So they immediately try to question, hey, why is this man suffering? They look for a reason. And I think we do that a lot of times, because in ancient Jerusalem, people thought that if you had a physical disability, it was maybe because your parents sinned, which is not true at all. But people would just look for meaning in anything. And we do that too in our own lives. When something hard happens, we can tend to like pass blame or look for an explanation. We immediately maybe probably ask God why, or fill in the blank. If God was good, why would he allow this? That is where our mind tends to gravitate. We immediately go to this idea of blaming people or looking for fault or blaming our God for giving us this trial or this evil in our life. And so one of my favorite things to do with my son is we go to the trampoline park. Has anyone been to a trampoline park? I mean, most of y'all, if you haven't ever been, you're missing out. It's the height of joy. But we go to Altitude, if you've been there in Richardson off Campbell, and we go there. We went there yesterday. It's a blast. And when I was there yesterday, my son, what he does is he runs into this place, starts jumping, and then immediately goes to the basketball hoop. Immediately goes to the trampoline basketball hoop to see if he can make a shot. Now, the problem is my son is 2 years old. So, man, the man ain't winning that game. The hoop is way too high. So here's a video of him attempting to try to make a basket on this hoop. Yeah. I mean, not even close. Like, I mean, I tried to give him a boost to try to see if he could dunk it, but he couldn't even get close, because he's 2 feet tall and this basket is 10 feet tall, and he's just not going to make that basket. He's not going to win that game, literally. I mean, it's just fun to watch, but ultimately, it's a game he will always lose. And I show that because I do think there's a game in our life that we play a lot. We play a lot, but it's a game truly that we lose every single time. The game I'm talking about is the blame game, where we go in when something is hard in our life, and we immediately pass blame on God. Or we move towards God and immediately say, God, if you were good, then this wouldn't happen in my life. And so we start finding fault in God and blaming him for things that happen in our life. And if you look throughout Scripture, we need to understand what God tells us, the promises that he tells us, because he clearly says in his word that he is not responsible for evil. Here's what it says in a few verses, just to read. He says in Psalm 5, verse 4, you take no pleasure in wickedness. In Psalm 45, verse 7, it says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. It says in James 1, 17, whatever is good and perfect is coming down to us from our Father in heaven. And so I think when something bad happens, I know my tendency is to immediately pass blame on God and say, hey, God, if this trial exists in my life, this means that you aren't good. And that's not true at all. Trials happen for various amounts of reasons. Maybe it's a consequence of our own action, or maybe it's just because there's sin and brokenness in our world. Or maybe it's because God uses that to produce something better in us. There's a lot of reasons. But ultimately, what trials should not make us do is to pass blame on God and to question his goodness, because God always uses trials and pain for a purpose. He never wastes pain in our life. That's why he is good. That's why he says he works all things together for his good. And so Jesus immediately jumps in and talks to these disciples, and he answers their question in a funny way. Here's what he says in verses 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. So he immediately says, hey, whatever your explanation you're looking for, it's not there. But what he does say is, this happened so the works of God might be displayed. And so he immediately goes into a promise. He doesn't give them ultimately an explanation that they're looking for. He just gives them a promise that God is going to use the pain of this man to produce a platform for him to glorify God. That's what he does. He uses the pain and discouragement that this man has suffered through in order to build a platform for him to glorify God. And that's what he did through his pain. And so this has been real in my life. This story has ministered to me, because over the past 2-ish years, I mean, I've been through some really hard things with my wife and I. About 2 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease where she wakes up literally every day in pain. And she wakes up and has to suffer because of the brokenness of this world. And her mind can immediately go to, God, why would you allow me to suffer this pain? You know, it could immediately go there if she let it. And then the past 3 years, we've gone through 3 miscarriages in our marriage, where we've just immediately been on our hands and knees like, God, why would you allow this suffering to happen? And what God has really shown me through those moments of discouragement and trial and anger is really not to look at explanations, because I know God will ultimately use that for his purposes and his glory. But what I do focus on is the promises. I focus on what God can show us through that. And so what I've done whenever I face discouragement in my life is I have a picture of my journal. And what I do is I just go through and I just write promises that I can find in Scripture. Promises that I know that God has delivered or shown me throughout his word. So I just write down, God's ways are better than mine. God's timing is always perfect. God is sovereign in every situation. God will fight for his people. God never fails. God gives us everything we need. God uses his people to care for his people. That is the greatest way that I have found hope amidst trial in my life. That's the greatest way that I have been able to endure discouragement in my life. And so if you ever face something that is hard, I encourage you, just look throughout God's word and look what he has promised you. Not just look for an explanation or throw a cliche on it and say everything happens for a reason and move on. Because we always know what our response should be. And so if you're taking notes, what I wanted to tell you guys this morning is that when things go wrong in our life, we won't always know the reason, but we should always know our response. Things go wrong in our life, we shouldn't always know the reason. We know that there's brokenness exists in our world, and we know that the trials will come, that's promised, but we won't always know the immediate reason. But we should always know our response. And just like Jesus told that man that his suffering had purpose and had meaning, that he doesn't waste pain, we can have that hope too. That we should focus on promises and not just explanations. And so as we move forward, there's a second thing that I think we can focus on when something hard happens in our life is this: to focus on where God has been in your life and not what is bad in your life. To focus on where God has been in your life and not what is bad in your life. And this is really hard because our mind immediately goes towards negative. Like, we immediately gravitate towards bad things when bad things happen. And so growing up, one of the things that I wanted to be when I grew up was a spy. I don't know, it sounds really dorky, like looking back on that, but for Christmas every year, my parents would give me spy equipment because I literally wanted to be a guy like Sherlock Holmes who went into a crime scene and solved everything. I thought it was so cool. And so my parents would give me like night vision goggles and walkie-talkies and like, these were cheap. They didn't actually work. But they would give me these things because they knew like, hey, I wanted to be a spy. And one of the things they gave me, I'll never forget, was a fingerprint detector where like you could like brush off and like paint with dust to see if you could see any fingerprints that were on like a table or on the ground, like you could dust for prints. And I remember having that, and I remember thinking about, man, this is like the number one way to solve a crime, right? Like this is how people have solved crimes for hundreds of years. What they do is they go in to a crime scene, they dust for prints, and they can tell where somebody has been. Like it gives them evidence, the fingerprints gives them evidence where somebody has been. It's a great way to determine or to solve a crime. And I think in the same way, like, man, our tendency, as I said, is to immediately look towards the bad. And what we do is we forget where God has been in our life. We never stop and investigate where God has been. Look at his prints in our life. Look where he has been. Look what he has done. What we do is immediately focus on, I'm never going to get out of that situation. I'm disappointed, discouraged. And we never look at what we could be grateful for. And so we could focus on what is good instead of focusing on where God or the trials ultimately in our life. I researched this recently. And it says that people every day forget about 50 to 80% of what they learn. In a month, you forget about 98 to 97% of what you learned in that month. So when I read that, I was like, man, we are forgetful people. We forget so many things. And that's what you see throughout Scripture literally David and so many men throughout Scripture will just tell us and command us to remember. Like the book of Psalms is all about remembering. When David approaches the biggest scene of his life versus Goliath, there's something that he does that I have never seen. But really when I read it, I was like, wow. Like, I don't think I do that a lot when I approach something hard in my life. Here's what he does. Right before he goes into this amazing, fearful battle of his life, here's what he says. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So right before he takes foot on that battlefield, what he does is he immediately looks back on where God has been in his life. That's how he produces strength. As he says, God, here's where you delivered me from. I know you've done it then, and I know you're going to do it again. And so I need to focus on where you have been in my life. In the book of Psalms, here's what David says. He says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. So basically, he's just rehearsing the history of God's love for him. He's rehearsing, he's scrolling through the memory of what God has done in his life. And so I want to just give you guys three quick things that you guys can reflect on today. Like before you even got to this room, you can be thankful for. And so here's one. Here's the reality is that you did not wake yourself up this morning. Literally, God in his mercy allowed you to wake up and gave you breath in your lungs. Like if you look at anything else in your life, look at that. That's something to remember. Don't forget to remember that. That's something that we can use to give us strength amidst anything that is hard in our life. Two is everything you have right now was given to you by God. Literally everything. Everything that you have is given to you. And so everything that we have should be used in order to serve him. So we shouldn't be entitled. We shouldn't look towards selfishness because we realize that nothing we have was earned by us. It was simply given to us by God. The last one is favor with God is free. Like it's found in the free gift of Jesus. There's nothing that we can do to earn it or deserve it. And those are just three things that we can reflect on to remind ourselves to not forget to remember the things that God has done, where he's been in our life. To not forget those few things, because our mind is immediately gravitates towards here's what's bad, and we miss out or neglect where God has been in our life. And so as we close, we'll give you one last point. I think this is a really important point, is not only should we focus on the promises, not just explanations. So we focus on where God has been and not just what is bad. But we can focus on the whole story and not just the scene. Focus on the whole story, the entire story of our life, and not just the scene. And so one of my favorite superheroes ever, my favorite superhero movie, honestly, of all time, is Spider-Man. I know that's debatable. I can't even pick. I think the newest one might be my favorite. But I love Spider-Man, and here's why, guys. Peter Parker got to be the most relatable superhero out there. Like, he's just kind of young, like a young geek who, like, just tries to make his way through high school and is trying to figure out his life in New York. And I think we can all just kind of relate to Peter Parker. All these other superheroes are just kind of unrelatable. But Peter's just like a humble guy who's just trying to live an honest life. And in Peter's life, there's that story that we all know about. It's that famous scene where his uncle is on the ground. His uncle is passing away, Uncle Ben. It's such a sad scene. It happens in a few of the movies. And Uncle Ben, there's that moment where Peter Parker's crying and he's looking at the scene of his life and he's like, this is never going to get better, right? Like, it's sad. I remember watching it every time. I'm like, this is terrible. And then as you watch the movie progress, you realize how the next scene moves on and the next scene moves on and the next scene moves on. And Peter Parker eventually uses that pain in his life to create purpose and uses that pain in his life to now bring healing to the evil that is in the world. And so it was this great transition point, this great turning point in the story where it was just that one scene, but as he continued to move on throughout the scene of the movie, you realize like that was a crazy scene that changed his life. And I think in our life, man, there's so many scenes that we can just zoom in and focus on and be like, man, if I just look at this one scene, like, it's not going to get any better. We probably tell ourselves that. And in the Bible, there's this man named Joseph. And I don't know if you've heard of his story. It's found in Genesis. But he has a lot of scenes in his life that look like they're just not going to get any better. Like, as he started out as a young teenager, his siblings betray him. Then he moves on, and his siblings don't even betray him. They throw him in a pit, and they leave him for dead. And then he gets sold into slavery right after that. Things just keep getting worse. And then in slavery, he's wrongly convicted of a crime he didn't commit. And then he immediately goes to prison. And in prison, he has to sit there and suffer, questioning if things will ever get better. There are a ton of scenes in this man's life that if you just focus on, you're like, this isn't getting any better. But when you read the whole story, you get to this verse. I'm going to focus on this verse. It's found in Genesis 50, verses 20. Here's what it says. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So, the end of his story, if you zoom out and see the entire story of Joseph's life, you realize that God used all of those things in his life to produce something good, that he didn't waste all those moments, all those scenes. If you zoom out and see the whole story, man, you get to see a story of redemption, forgiveness, of hope, of healing. And that's the story God wants to do in our lives. If you just focus on the manger of Jesus, you don't get the whole story. If you just focus on the cross and Jesus hanging on the cross, that's a sad story. But you get to realize 3 days later, he rose from the dead and showed us that he has the ability to defeat sin and death. We need in our life to zoom out and to see the whole story, that our life isn't just one scene, but it's an accumulation of scenes to give us one story of hope and healing. And so a few weeks ago, as we close, y'all focus in real quick. A few weeks ago, one of our teaching pastors showed this picture on the screen. I thought it was really helpful just to evaluate my point. And it was a few weeks ago, and it's this movie poster. And this movie poster the picture is basically a mosaic, and it's created through a bunch of scenes that have happened in the movie. Like, if you zoom in, you see every one of those pictures are scenes in the movie. And I think in our life, if we're not careful, what we do is we immediately go to one scene and immediately think our life is over. But as you zoom out and see this entire story that God's writing for us, you realize that he actually has a picture, or he's writing a story that we get to find healing and hope in. So my encouragement as we close is, you guys, would not just focus on one scene in your story, but really, really, truly, that you would zoom out and you'd understand that God is writing a story for you guys that is full of hope and redemption and healing, and that he will work everything out in our life for good, ultimately, and we can simply stick to the story that he's writing. All right? Sound good? All right, let me pray for us, and then we'll get out of here. Lord, thank you that you are never finished with us. Thank you that you're writing a story for us that is bigger than we could ever think. I thank you, Lord, that we could focus on promises and not explanations in the midst of adversity. Remember when we try to throw a cliche, like everything happens for a reason, on trial and hardship, I know that that can just feel foolish. And so I pray that when we experience something hard, maybe we're going through something hard right now or eventually, I pray we look to you in your word to know, Lord, that you have been places in our life and brought healing to our life. And you want to continue to give us strength amidst adversity. So I pray these students would do that and hold on to that and believe that. In your name we pray. Amen.